I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Well, some people do, you know, top 10 shows. Oprah does her favorite things, right?
I would love to go to one of Oprah's things.
I know, but
everybody gets a car. Everybody gets a car.
So best of lists, all that kind of stuff. We're doing a little bit different.
Yeah.
Top four reasons people end up in a therapy office. Mm-hmm. And top four reasons people seek a divorce.
Come to your office.
Come to my office. So let's start with you. Ladies first or age before beauty?
I think I'm going to go first.
That would be beauty before age.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So listen, why people seek therapy, why they come into my office is such a big question. And there's such a range of reasons why people seek therapy. So I'm just going to kind of highlight and put into little pools of what, okay, you know, what there are. So there, you know, there's hundreds and thousands of reasons why people seek therapy. So the first reason why a lot of people come to therapy is just, I would say, you know, mental health issues, feeling maybe overwhelmed. So anxiety, depression, ADHD issues, both at work and at home. And I would say that lately, in the last probably 4 or 5 years, related to, of course, the pandemic, mm-hmm, we've seen an uptick of anxiety, an uptick of depression, and also an uptick in suicide rates, which is all related to, of course, suicide, to depression and anxiety.
So, okay. So you're saying that one sort of a global reason is mental health issues.
Yeah. Just a specific issue related to depression, anxiety, and also, you know, other things, okay, people that are bipolar. I mean, just, you know, people seeking therapy because of a mental health condition.
All right, not necessarily because of the relationship they're in, but individually you're talking about.
Right. Their own self mental health, yeah, condition.
Yeah. I mean, I remember during the pandemic, I'll toggle over to me in a second, but I would talk to people and they'd be in a closet.
Yeah,
because that was the only place they felt safe, the only place they could be alone, you know, without everybody else in the house being around and so forth. And some of those people might still be in a closet sometimes. Yeah,
yeah,
it's sad.
Yeah. 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 So just, you know, general mental health issues, I think, would be the most common reason people seek therapy.
Wait, my turn now.
We're switching back and forth. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Switch back and forth. So okay, you didn't do a countdown. I did more of a countdown. Hmm. So you do it your way, I'll do it my way, but we're still going to toggle back and forth.
Oh, by the way, I'm drinking I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but our neighbor makes us.
It's a
Puerto Rican drink, Coca Chico.
Or something like
it
that.
It is delicious. Yeah. I'm drinking a little. It has rum, cinnamon, coconut milk, and it's like a dessert. Anyway, he just brought it over.
And you're knocking it back.
I just poured a little tiny glass.
Okay.
And it's delicious.
Maybe I should have had a cocktail. I didn't get a drink for this.
Well, this is just a little taste.
A little taste, something to kick off the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
cheers.
So I sort of did it, to me, in terms of frequency.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And our first book, Five Core Conversations, essentially was built off of the reasons why people come to my office, mm-hmm, in some ways, or why people come to your office. Mm-hmm. And because when I talk to people, it's always, always, every single time, 37 years, I think
it's a long time.
37 years, mm-hmm, this month.
Yeah.
It's one and often more of these reasons. So the number four would be parenting issues, family issues, not just parenting, but also older parents or connected family you know, grandparents or cousins or brothers or aunts and things like that, family issues. And sometimes, and you, and I know you're looking at me kind of wacky.
Well, I'm thinking you're going into my domain as a therapist, why people come to my office.
Well, no, I'm telling you, they come to my office because they're having problems with their they're having problems with their spouse's family.
Oh,
or,
okay.
Or, and more frequently, they get into conflict over parenting.
Okay.
And we've talked about the differences in parenting, why people parent mm-hmm. different. And we're going to talk more about that, different issues around that. But but generally speaking, family issues are a major, major problem.
Yeah.
We had this couple that we interviewed for the second book that remember, and the mom was there all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, this was the woman whose dad died when she was younger, and she was very close with her mom. Her mm-hmm. mom took care of her through high school, and she didn't go away to college. She stayed home. And then when she got married, you know, husband moved in, or maybe even moved in before they got married, mm-hmm. but she was always there. And that became an enormous problem for them.
Yeah. And we would call that enmeshment.
Enmeshment, very fancy word.
Enmeshment and family boundary issues.
Yeah. So you see a lot of problems mm-hmm. with family, and I see a lot of complaints and concerns, sometimes in different secular religious communities where families are very close. One spouse's family is very tight knit, and the other comes from a family that isn't. And it's hard to adjust to mm-hmm. those two things. So that would be my number four reason.
Okay.
Right, now it's your turn.
See,
tennis
I'm
kind
of going backwards though.
You always do stuff like that. That's right.
So number one reason is specific mental health issues of their own.
Okay.
Number two would be relationship issues. Okay. So again, relationships, problems with partners, problem with kids, problem with parents, those kinds of things. So that would be the sort of number two reason, or a major reason why people come, is they're having difficulties navigating either boundaries, like you were talking about, enmeshment, being too close, or being too disconnected.
So you're talking about individual issues,
mm-hmm.
and now you're talking about interpersonal issues, whether it's with significant other, spouse, child, parent, mm-hmm. whomever.
Right.
So what kind of issues are we talking about? I mean, aside from somebody comes to you because they're unhappy in their marriage or in their relationship, what else? What else do you see?
I see people that are feeling lonely in their own relationships and their own mm-hmm. homes. So, and that's quite interesting, you know, so people think, oh, well, how could you be lonely if you have like four kids or two dogs or a husband, like, you know, people around them. But there are lots of people that feel alone, even if they're in a relationship, even if they have people around, they just don't feel connected in the way that they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's a big issue, is relationship issues.
And so when they feel alone and they're not feeling connected, you know, what do you try to do when they come to your office to help with those types of issues? How do you talk them through it or try to get them to improve?
Well, of course, I always start with exploring, you know, past relationships and sort of history, family history, what's gone on, what are the relationships that they've used to, you know, that they're used to. So if people are often, you know, have dysfunctional families or trauma in their background, then relationships are more complicated. And and so how to have relationships is always impacted by those. So really working on, you know, where they came from. There's a great book that Oprah Winfrey and Bruce Perry wrote, and it's called What Happened to You? Yeah, that's what it's called. What Happened to You? And it's all about early, you know, early life, lots of trauma, and how you can't get away from that. And how everybody brings with them, no matter what kind of work you do, if you do good therapy, if you dig in, if you say, I'm going to be different, your past is part of you. And it needs to be looked at. It needs to be honored. It needs to oftentimes be repaired.
But the tools that you might use, right, in your working with someone
mm-hmm.
may differ depending upon the relationship that is of concern or is causing them trouble. In other words, if it's a relationship with my daughter,
mm-hmm.
right, there might be different strategies or different approach, or no, to if there's I'm having a problem with my husband.
Absolutely different. And again, the past of where you've come from, what, you know, if I'm having issues with my daughter, what was my relationship like with my mother?
Mm-hmm.
And those things are very impactful. And if you didn't have a good relationship with your mother, it's going to be hard to know what to do with your daughter.
Right.
Right. And so those kinds of things, you know, relationship issues come to play a lot of times for people.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting how some people who may have not had a parent because their mother or father died when they were young, or their parents separated or divorced, they didn't know one parent, yet those people can sometimes be the greatest parent, terrific parents.
Absolutely. Right. And I think that those people, are often resilient. And often they've done a lot of work around being different.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. So back to me, number three, the number three reason, money.
We've money, talked money,
about
money.
That a lot of times. Oh boy. In the old days before there was scanning and the advent of, you could scan a piece of paper on your phone and all the rest of it, people would come to my office with bags of shit, excuse my language.
Well, they were receipts, honey. They weren't shit.
they were bags of shit.
They were bags of shit.
Bags and big, huge grocery bags or Nordstrom bags or wherever.
I like the Nordstrom bag myself.
Bags full of bills, statements, tax returns, 3 pages here, 4 pages there, because finances, and still are, just a major, major issue for people, whether they have plenty of money or whether they don't have enough or anywhere in between. It doesn't make any difference. You have the people who think they have more and don't realize that they don't have more. And then they find out and it's, oh my gosh, come to Jesus and what's going to happen to us. Mm-hmm. And it's, you have the family with the two different checkbooks. You have the people with the separate accounts. Mm-hmm. You have people who don't tell the truth about what's going on in their finances. You have the stresses that come with not having enough money. Mm-hmm. And where we live, which is a fairly affluent area here in
DC,
the DC suburbs, you have a lot of people who live outside their means and above their means. And we're talking, by the way, two of us are talking, did that ourselves.
Yes, we did.
We'll talk about that another time.
Yes, we live beyond our means
for
sure.
We did for a period of time. But my point is, there is a whole myriad of financial problems that people face, and that causes stress, conflict, and a fracture in a relationship.
So not that I'm planning to get divorced, but if you were to give me advice, what would you say I should do or not do around finances?
First thing is be educated.
Okay.
That's the first thing is know what are your bills? What do you have? What do you owe? What does it cost you to maintain your household? If you're planning on moving, okay, where are you going to go? What's it going to cost for you to live there? How much money do you have to support you or your family or your children? Mm-hmm. If you end up in a litigation environment and we got to go to court to get support, how much time do you have built in before things start to get difficult? And laws have changed with regard to divorce around the country in some cases now. You don't have to be separated to look to file for divorce. So that brings all sorts of other issues. It's another discussion for another day. But I would say to you, be educated, know what you have, look at your tax return. If you don't understand it, ask your accountant or ask somebody to help you understand it. So you know what everyone earned, you know what you owe, and that sort of thing.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, I tend to make a lot of sense.
Sometimes you do.
Most, I'd say 96%.
I don't know about that.
Well, that's because you don't listen all the time.
Okay. All right. So moving on to number three reason. So mine are like a bucket. So
yeah, you're not in order. Well, I'm doing mine in order.
Okay. Mine are in order. So major life transitions bring people into therapy all the time. So that is new job, moving, new relationship, ending a relationship, a loss of some kind, loss of a parent, loss of a child, loss of a job, having a baby, maybe even losing a child, a baby. Those kinds of things, like major life transitions, are often very challenging for people and often bring them to therapy.
So, okay. So let's go to, what do you do, right? Let's pick somebody who comes to you and says,
So I had a woman come to me this week and she was having all kinds of anxiety around a job. She just took a new job. She had been unemployed for about 6 months and she just took a new job, a good job. She was happy with the job. She's excited about the job, but she's very nervous that she's not doing a good job. She's not being as productive as she wants. This company that she works for is less structured than her old company. So there's a lot of, you know, she gets to kind of pick her project. Mm-hmm. She gets a timeline to pick her own timeline. And she's having a lot of anxiety around the work situation.
Okay. So that's a life-changing event.
Life-changing event. So we talked about, of course, you know, what she could do within the company in terms of getting some more structure, because it sounded like she, you know, she has a little bit of ADHD. She does take some medication for it. She's on the medication regularly. But she's having some, you know, anxiety about deadlines and expectations. So we sort of talked about, you know, of course, structuring her day. Okay. Making sure she's getting into the office at a good time, making sure she has plenty of time in the morning, not rushed, talking about a to-do list, putting tasks on her calendar, those kinds of things. And then also asking her supervisor to have meetings and to tell him that she would like to have some structured check-ins. Okay. And that seemed very helpful. And she's going to get back to me in a couple of weeks around, you know, how she's doing with those guidelines.
And those kind of things can affect someone's relationship with their partner too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, she's been a little bit short at home mm-hmm. with her partner. She's not been the best mom mm-hmm. and she's feeling just overwhelmed and stressed and lots of imposter syndrome, which is completely, you know, expected in any kind of new job. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could do a whole episode on imposter syndrome, but I mean, I always tell imposter syndrome is real, not feeling like you belong or you know what you're doing. I always tell supervise.
So my joke was not a good joke.
No, it wasn't a good joke. Okay. So I supervise some clinicians, some therapists, mm-hmm. and they often will talk about like, I don't really feel like I know what I'm doing. And okay. I tell them, for about 15 years as a therapist, I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing.
Well, hopefully no one who was one of your clients in that first 15 years listening in. I'm not sure. Let's pretend she didn't really say it.
No, listen, I was
other therapist that didn't know what they were doing.
No, I was a good therapist.
All right, I understand.
But you're not sure of yourself and you don't know what you're doing. And I think it's very common to feel that way in new jobs and new positions.
No, people don't feel like they know what they're doing when they're parents for the first time or second time or even the third time.
Oh, heck yes. You know. Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of imposter syndrome in parenting. Well, anyway, so major life transitions.
Imposter syndrome.
You never heard that before?
No, I've heard of imposters before, but I've never heard that it was a syndrome.
Oh, yeah. It's a big syndrome. It's a big one.
Big syndrome. Big.
Really it happens big. All the time.
Really huge. Huge.
I can't believe you never heard of it.
So
in your career, as you know, a divorce attorney, you never felt like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
I wouldn't say that. No.
Really?
No. But even if I had, I wouldn't have known that it was imposter. I wouldn't admit it.
Yeah.
And B, because I'd have to notify my malpractice carrier. And B, I never heard the term imposter syndrome.
Wow.
No, I don't think I've ever been in a situation where I didn't know. I've been in uncomfortable situations where I wasn't sure what was going to happen. Again, my work is different than yours, right? So certainly there've been uncomfortable moments and concerning moments, but not knowing at all what I'm doing. No.
I still have it.
So
sometimes.
Anybody out there who's looking to call me, don't worry. I generally know what I'm doing. And if I don't, I can figure it out. I ask someone. That's all. So forth. Okay. Yep. All right. So number two for me.
Yep.
Let me tell you what's never happened. Okay.
Yeah.
One thing that has never happened in this 37 years that we're talking about, where someone comes to my office and says, my sex life is awesome and I want a divorce. Okay. Never, not once, ever, ever, never did it happen.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. So again, and we've had this discussion. That's not to say that sex is the most important mm-hmm. thing in a relationship. But for most of us, and there are outliers, and there are people who don't have regular sexual relations with their spouse and have very happy relationships. But what I'm saying, what you've asked me mm-hmm. is top reasons why people come to me, and many, many, many times. That's either a driving force, sorry for the pun, or not a driving force, or, you know, or is part of the reason why they're sitting there.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a connection thing. Sure it's it, in part a connection thing. So that, yeah, sure that makes sense.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So, so my next one, the third sort of bucket is around connection.
Okay.
So people come to therapy because they feel disconnected either from life, from the community that they live in, from work, from partners, from family members, and they just don't feel like they have a support system and they don't feel valued.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, I understand that. So let me just ask you that same question again. So when someone says, you know, they don't appreciate me, I do a lease, I do this, I do that, and I just feel like I don't get noticed, I don't get appreciated, whatever it is they say to you, you know, quick, you know, you have to go through 3 months worth of therapy, but what's the path that you try to take with that person?
Well, sometimes it's really getting them to look at, you know, are they participating? Are they complaining that they're not connected and not doing anything about it? Mm-hmm. So I have a client that I work with that is pretty lonely, single guy, hasn't been in a relationship in a really long time. And he's feeling lonely. So we sort of talked about, well, okay, what would it mean to be connected to, you know, like a neighbor or even get on a dating app? Mm-hmm. And he's hesitant about it. And he felt like he had to like fix himself and be in a really good, you know, mental frame before he could get into any other relationship, which in some ways I understand that. But we really talked about like some of this may be helped by being in a relationship or having connections with other people. So we talked about, you know, getting out there dating wise. We also talked about interacting with neighbors. And we also talked about him doing some volunteer work.
Makes you feel better.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So just trying to figure out like, hey, how can you get connected and how can you feel important and how can you feel productive and those kinds of things.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, then we get to the main reason for me or certainly a top that. Again, these aren't poll numbers. These are just what I remember through my head. This is that sort of general malaise I borrow from the DSM,
yes.
Not otherwise specified. Malaise,
NOS.
Creep, I like to call it.
NOS.
Yeah. And in a nutshell, these are folks who've been together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this and they've managed their families. They've done well. And their kids are up and out. There's no more soccer. There's no more college hunt. There's no more PTA meetings. And you've been through that 15 or 20 or 25 years, whatever it is, maybe longer. And you look across the table and you say, I really know this person.
They're like a stranger.
And what I do know, I don't like. And what I say about this is that it's not something that people do purposefully, because people get married for a reason. They're in love generally at the time. There might be other reasons, but often that should be one of the main reasons. And what happens is
that's why I married you, honey.
I know.
Because I loved you and you knew how to go places.
And I know how to go places. Still do.
But now I have ways. So
now you don't need me as much.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to get back to that imposter thing soon. That's what it is. It's just insidious and it grows over time. It's like cancer, you know, it's like a slow growing tumor that just gets worse and worse. And you don't really pay that close attention to it as you're going about your busy lives until all of a sudden the lives aren't as busy. And that person isn't someone that you want to be with or spend your life with. And that's something that people need to think about, certainly at all points in their relationship, because I think if people tended to the relationship more, we'll talk about this another time, tended to the relationship more, we wouldn't have that issue.
Agreed.
You might have sex problems or money problems or kid problems, but they wouldn't have that issue. So,
So
there you have it. Top reasons people come to a therapist's office. Top
I have another one?
No.
Did yours. I did mine.
You did yours.
Oh, okay.
You did all yours. Did you want to say something else?
Well, I just wanted to add in like a general communication issues. People come for
this is why we don't edit. Okay, so this is not going to be edited out.
So I want another one. No, I mean I want to say like communication issues.
Yeah, aren't these all? These are all communication issues.
Yeah, communication, but not being able to talk to your partner, not being able to talk to your kids, or not being able to do it in a way that it's heard, either by yelling or sweeping things under the rug or those kinds of things. And then I just want to generally say, because I think this is important, is that past events, trauma, things that happened to you early on in your life or things that happened, you know, not even early on, people come to therapy for that. And that's really important, whether it's a, you know, an abuse issues mm-hmm. or adoption, you know, being adopted is, you know, lots and lots of people have issues around being adopted. Right. And I think that those are important things to just kind of shout out and mention. Okay. Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add to your list?
I don't know. I could probably talk all night about why people show up in my office.
And we could talk about communication and I'm sure that someone's out there asking, well, okay, so what do we do to improve it? We're going to save that because that's a long
discussion. Yeah, we can do a whole thing on communication.
Some tips as to how to improve communication depending on the relationship.
Yep.
So, but now, can I say it now?
Sure.
So that's it for tonight. She promises. We will see you next time on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
See ya. Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.